You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together Podcast, baseball family. This week we have Salvador Perez is hitting all the dingers, the Padres are having troubles, and we're going to take you team shopping for the playoffs right now.
9 Plus Us presents the Baseball Together Podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back to another episode of the Baseball Together Podcast, baseball family. I am one of your hosts today. My name is Brad, and as per usual, we have our guy, Brig. Welcome, Brig.
Welcome. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Thank you.
Hello, hello.
Very good. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started, Brig. We have a lot to get through. Like, this, so much happening. So much happenings in the world of baseball. So we're going to talk about them. That's what we do here on the Baseball Together Podcast. First, let's talk about Salvador Perez.
Okay.
He's been hitting home runs like crazy this year. Absolutely crazy. Hitting all the dingers. He actually today, in the first game of a doubleheader against the Indians, set the single season record. He broke Johnny Bench's mark of 45. He hit 46.
Bam!
His 46th home run on the season, not in a single day, because that would be something else. But no, instead it's for the entire season. Johnny Bench's mark has stood since 1970. That's for a catcher, which I feel like is quite impressive.
Absolutely.
A, that it stood up for that long, and B, that it's 45, because that's a lot. That's a lot of home runs.
For a catcher, it really is.
Yeah, it's... My big thing, Brig, are you surprised that it took this long for a catcher to break this mark?
No.
You're not.
No, because Johnny Bench has always been a once-in-a-generation talent. So, for him,
right, yeah,
you know, like, every way you look at it. So, we're like, but it's Johnny Bench, right? Like, yeah. It's like when we talk about Cal Ripken, it's like, yeah, but it's Cal Ripken. You know, like, nobody's going to ever do that. And then when they do, 65 years from now or whatever... We're going to go, man, I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Well, you know, I honestly, like, I'm kind of surprised that, like, Gary Sanchez hasn't done it. I mean, I know he hasn't been able to spend really an entire season at catcher because he's a defensive liability.
He is.
You know, so they're going to bring somebody in as much as they can. But his bat, he's a great hitter.
Yeah.
He is a great hitter. But I'm surprised that like somebody like maybe Mike Piazza didn't get closer to doing it. But part of that might be managing innings. But this is one of the big things with it though, is that Johnny Bench did it playing every single day.
Yes.
I mean, he said before that his manager, I believe it was Sparky Anderson, was like he asked him, he's like, Sparky, you ever going to give me a day off? He's like, well, I'll tell you what. He's like, I'm going to catch you if we're ahead because I want to stay ahead. I'm going to catch you if we're behind because I want to catch up. And I'm going to catch you if we're tied because I want to get ahead. So.
So, no.
So, he got no days off.
No days off for Johnny Bench.
Exactly. And that's part of the reason he was able to set this record because he was playing every stinking day.
Right.
You know, and even in the 90s when Mike Piazza was playing, he was getting some days off here and there. So,
yeah,
that's...
That's
it's kind of an Iron Man stat. Kind of an Iron Man stat. So
I want to look up Johnny Bench really quick. I'm going to do something. Keep going. I'm going to do something.
Okay. Let's move on to the Padres, then we'll come back. How's that? Does that sound good to you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the Padres. Padres are having trouble in paradise, right?
Oh, I have something for this.
Okay, go ahead.
The wheels on the bus went, we're on strike.
They did. That's exactly what happened.
That's, I think,
precisely.
It sounds just like San Diego right now.
Yeah, it's the wheels have come off. So first off, like, this is one of my things is that, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about how they were moving Fernando Tatis Jr. out to center field from shortstop, and I was a little hesitant about it. I was like, okay, he's an athlete, he's a baseball player, like, he should be able to play center field, but he's had some issues out in center field. And I'm beginning to think, like, maybe that kind of a transition isn't necessarily something that's good to be made in season, especially at the big league level. D. Gordon, when he came to Seattle, they said, well, we have a second baseman, because Robbie Cano was still playing for the Mariners at the time. They said, you know, you can never have too much talent on a team, but we want to move you out to center field. You're an athlete. We think you can do it. He struggled. He had trouble in center field, and that was after spending almost an entire offseason working on playing center field with Ken Griffey Jr. because he lives down the street from him in Florida. And he's like he found out he got traded. He called him up, went over to Dick's, bought an outfielder's glove, and went to work with Griffey. And he still had issues. You know, so it's a tough position to play at the big league level, and I'm surprised they made the switch midseason, honestly.
Yeah.
And so Tatis has been having trouble there. But also this weekend, there was a bit of a kerfuffle. I don't know if I'd even go so far as to say a brouhaha.
No.
Or anything like that.
No. But it's bad.
Or, it's definitely not a good look. Tatis and Manny Machado were kind of going at each other in the dugout. They had to be separated. And the one thing that I do remember seeing and hearing about this whole thing was that Machado was yelling at Tatis, "It's not about you." And before I share my thoughts, Brick, I want to know what you think about the whole thing, besides being a bad look.
Well, obviously it's a bad look, but this happens all the time, right? When teams start losing and when there's, you know, bad blood in the clubhouse, it makes me think two things. Is the team losing causing the problem? And then the sparks fly in mid-game dugout scenarios, or is there bad blood and then the team loses? And the manifestation of the bad blood and of the clubhouse issue comes out in the win-loss columns. So I think it's both, depending on the situation. I think in this case, it's the losses precipitating and bringing about the sparks flying in the dugout. So why they're losing so often, so badly, I don't know. I have no idea. I would love to know. Because
yeah,
Slam Diego was the best game in town for a while. It was so fun to watch. And now they're yelling at each other and...
they've lost half their pitching staff to injuries.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's a turnover thing. That has a huge impact on clubhouse culture. And maybe the guys that were keeping the peace and keeping some balance in there, maybe they're not around as much. Maybe they're not being as vocal because they're not on the field and they're not being taken as seriously. I don't know. There's a million different things that could happen in the little microcosm that is a clubhouse. So I don't know.
It's true. Yeah, it is true. And, you know, this is the thing that I read about it, was that Machado got mad at Tatis because he kept arguing balls and strikes. And basically saying, like, we can't afford to have you get tossed out of this game.
Yeah.
A, that would hurt the team that way. And B, you're hurting the team by arguing with the umpire.
Yeah.
So when him saying it's not about you, is there's a bigger picture here. Because I've heard guys on broadcast say, you know, the main broadcaster would ask the color guy, would you argue balls and strikes in that position? And he would say, up 5 runs? Maybe.
Maybe.
Up 2 runs? No. Down 3 runs? Probably.
Yep.
It definitely depends on the situation. And to have Tatis out there yelling at the umpire and complaining about balls and strikes on a regular basis, that could be harmful to the team.
Yeah.
A, because he can get tossed really easily. And B, the umpire, knowingly or not, could hold a grudge against the Padres the rest of the game, and it could hurt.
That's right.
You could squeeze that zone on the pitchers, expand it on the batters, and it could be a bad situation. And I just think it's so funny that Manny Machado gets such a bad rap. People call him a bad teammate. Our friend Jason on the Not Another Sports podcast has said all the time, because he's close to Orioles country, that the Orioles fans are not a big fan of him. And I'm like, well, he's the only guy who showed up in the World Series for the Dodgers in, what, 2018,
yeah,
he was the only guy on that team who showed up. Like, you can't tell me he doesn't play hard when it matters. He doesn't show up, and apparently, him looking out for the rest of his team by calling out the most high, one of the top two guys on the payroll in the dugout, and being willing to get into a scuffle with him, like, to me, that says that he is a good teammate. Like, he might rub you the wrong way, but I feel like he's a guy I'd like to have on my team.
Well, what's happened I think what happened was his time in LA changed him. Then he got the big deal and he went to San Diego and they brought him in as a leader, right? So he wasn't he wasn't the young guy on the team like he was in Baltimore, where he was hot to trot and super fiery and everything, and trying to lead from a position, you know, where he didn't have much authority. He just had on-field prowess. That's all he had. But there were other guys there that were supposed to be inheriting these leadership roles. So I think, I wonder if what we didn't know then that we can kind of see now is if he was feeling stifled in his ability to lead and his authority wasn't being taken seriously because he hadn't earned much at, you know, early on in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So then they bring him, they bring him over to San Diego and he has free reign to be the mouthpiece. He can lead the clubhouse however he wants, which is kind of what they brought him in for, right? So I wonder, I wonder if that's the turn in just Manny Machado's career that has changed that. And because his attitude and his play and everything's different, he's a totally different person.
It is, yeah, and it's interesting to see. And I think this whole thing is interesting. I wonder if the Padres are gonna kind of turn a corner here because they're on the outside looking in right now. They're not in a good spot.
Yeah.
As far as the playoffs go, the wild card. Let's see. Let me pull up my standings here real quick. But they are. Let's see. They're back. They are three and a half games back.
Yeah.
They gotta catch St. Louis. They're tied to Philadelphia.
And we gotta fend off Cincinnati too.
Yeah, exactly. And so they've gotta go in, they've gotta win some games. They've really gotta win some games. And currently, let's see how they're doing today. Looks like they have today off, possibly.
They've lost three in a row and they don't play again till tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they play San Francisco tomorrow.
That's tough.
And that's a problem.
The day off after an incident like that, though, they could hash it all out and come back and play really well on Tuesday.
You're right. I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
We'll see.
I don't know.
It's definitely something to keep an eye on. I mean, the Padres, I feel like, have been a team to keep an eye on all season. Mm-hmm. But
For sure.
But now, especially, to see how they come back from this, it's going to be really interesting to see how it goes.
And I want to watch them play San Francisco. With the changes and the turn of the culture or the energy level or whatever you want to call it. Okay, can we go back to the catcher thing really quick? I did a little armchair research here. I just took the three names, Johnny Bench, Mike Piazza, and Salvi. And Johnny Bench played 2,158 games. Mike Piazza, 1912. And Salvi's at 1,127, just to put it into frame of reference. So the fact that Mike Piazza didn't break Johnny Bench's record is a little bit astounding. It's only about a season's worth of games that he missed, that just shy of what Johnny Bench played, which is interesting.
That is interesting. That's really interesting. I don't know. And you know what? We got some other catchers coming up who can really hit. I don't know if it's going to be – I mean, 35 for a catcher is a lot still. Yeah.
You know what?
And really, for anybody, 35 is a lot still these days.
You want to know the most interesting thing? This goes to your days off thing, though. Johnny Bench, guess how many seasons he played?
What was it, like 18, 17, 18?
17, 17. 2,158 games in 17 seasons, right? Mike Piazza, again, 1,912 games. How many seasons do you think he played?
He played like 19.
16.
Oh.
It's literally about one season's difference in games played.
Yeah, that is.
Isn't that nuts?
That's nuts. Yeah.
Huh. All right. Anyway.
Interesting. All right. Next we have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Holy moly.
Dude.
Brig, can we just take a minute to appreciate what we're seeing here from Vlad Jr.? Because he's really young. Like, he's what, 22, I think, still? Let me look it up. But what he's doing is like what we're seeing from him is like guys who've been in the league like 10 years. Sorry. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
He'll be 23 in March next year. It's insane. He's leading the league going into Monday. He was leading the league in batting average with a .321 average.
That's one.
And then, as of this moment, right now, he's tied with Salvador Perez only because he hit that home run today at 46. But then he's tied technically for like third or fourth, whatever, in RBIs. He has 105. The leaders are Salvador Perez and Jose Abreu with 113 each coming into Monday.
Mm-hmm. So, and he has how many RBIs?
105. So he needs 8 to tie. But Salvi's still driving him in at a pretty good clip. Yeah. So I think that's a pretty big gap to make up. But do you think he'll win the Triple Crown?
Nope.
I don't think he will either. I think he could lead the league in home runs and batting average. I think that'll happen. But those RBIs, that's a pretty big gap.
I mean, they could have some big days, but it would take Abreu and Salvi would have to have bad days. And it would have to be 2 weeks of that same trend continuing.
Mm-hmm.
Like all 12 remaining games.
With Salvi is he's got guys in front of him who actually get on base, like legitimately get on base. You know, like Bryce Harper, his RBIs are way down this year because he's hit like 50 solo home runs.
Yeah.
You know, like he never has anybody on base
in
front of him.
Exactly,
but
right.
Salvi's guys get on base for him. So that's a big difference between what he's got and other guys have. But do you think a Triple Crown would be good for baseball? That's the other thing I want to know.
Oh, yeah. For sure. For those of us that care and watch baseball. For those that aren't big-time fans, they still don't know what it is. They don't know what the significance is. They don't understand what a big deal it is. So I don't know. This goes back to Major League Baseball failing in their marketing department. And only marketing to those of us that really do care and do get it, right? So I need them to step it up again in this area and tell us, like, what? Like we need Razzies every year as well, right? So some of the shame culture maybe could be beneficial because people flock to tragedy. They flock to, like the Razzies are a big deal anyway.
Yeah,
just saying.
Well, this is the thing. The fact that I think more people know what the Triple Crown is in horse racing than they do know what it is in baseball. That's a problem for baseball
for sure. Well, and it's been almost 20 years. Excuse me, it's been almost 10 years since we've seen it. It's like 9, right? Wasn't Miggy the last one to do it in 2012?
Yeah, but still, though, I mean, we went like 60 or something like that in horse racing, and by we, I mean like they, because I don't watch horse racing. But you know what I mean. Anyway, no, I think that's actually a problem for Major League Baseball that people don't know what the Triple Crown is, and they can tell you the 3 races in horse racing before they can tell you the 3 statistics in baseball for a Triple Crown.
Now, okay, hold on. Do you want to know what may be going into this? Is that I just looked it up. Triple Crown winners.
Okay.
Miggy 2012 we've covered. Guess when the previous Triple Crown was? Just guess.
Was it in the 80s? Was it in the 80s?
Nope.
60s.
It was Yaz in 67.
Wow.
It took till 67.
That's crazy, because there was somebody, I had a baseball card for somebody in the 90s who, it was a Triple Crown card, and it may have been because he was contending for it.
Yeah.
But I had sworn that he had won the Triple Crown.
Nope. And then Frank Robinson won it in 66, Mickey Mantle 56, Teddy Williams, 47. Teddy Williams, 42. Lou Gehrig, 34. Jimmy Fox, 33. If you jump over to this is all MLB or ESPN.com. National League Triple Crown, 37. Joe Medwick, 33. Chuck Klein. And then 25 and 22, Rogers Hornsby. That's it. That's the entire list.
That's insane.
That's the whole list, dude. So maybe it's a failing, not so much on Major League Baseball's ability to market it, but maybe it just doesn't happen very often.
Or their failure to make it, like, the magnitude, right?
Right, and that is a failure.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but hey, I got one for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So you mentioned Mickey Mantle. I had to cut in real quick.
Do it. I love talking about Mickey Mantle.
On this day, this is September the 20th, Mickey Mantle hit his last home run on this day in 1968.
Seriously?
Seriously. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a true fact.
That's a true fact. I got his book right here. Anyway, somewhere.
Anyway, cool.
That's right. That's a awesome. Cool fun fact. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks. I heard that on the radio this morning.
Ah, nice. So
I thought I'd share it.
Should we
especially
stay?
Since you mentioned Mickey Mantle, I could not.
Well, and so. Can we stay with New York for just a minute?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because the Yankees' wheels have fallen completely off as well. And
well, they're still contending, though. I mean, they're in it as much as the Padres are.
Okay. Sure. But... Sorry, the royal we are very upset. And some people are asserting that Aaron Boone is going to get fired, possibly immediately following the season.
Well, so, I mean, we've talked about this a lot this season, right? Because the Yankees have had some pretty low lows.
Pretty low.
And it's been bad news bears.
Yeah.
I mean... And well, so you were texting me about this earlier that Boone's out. I was like, "Well, wait, today?
No."
It, like, and I was kind of because I was kind of like, "Wait a minute, this is, it seems like kind of a strange time to fire the manager when you're still in the playoff hunt,
right?"
But at the same time, I wonder if they did, if they would make it. You know,
if he's the single point of failure, then it's possible.
Yeah.
So who would you put in charge? The bench coach?
Yeah.
Or would the bench coach just be the one that hands the lineup to the umpire and that's it? And then their player manager would kind of happen nominally.
Who would be your player manager?
DJ LeMahieu.
I'd say Anthony Rizzo. Because I think he's going to be a manager someday.
Yeah, but he hasn't been there long enough to be the
that's
player.
True, he doesn't have you.
I'd say DJ.
That would be an interesting experiment.
I think
how
so.
How well do you think it would go over in New York, though?
It w- oh, no. Like,
Boone's out. LeMahieu is in.
No, it
got
would never.
Guy, New
it
York.
Would never happen. No, no. But it would be interesting to see what decisions an on-the-field player would make and return.
I would tune in every single day.
Every single day.
I would watch the Yankees every day for the last 12 games of the season.
Yep.
And then especially in the playoffs if LeMahieu continued to manage into the playoffs.
Agreed. Agreed. So
that would
we
be
all know
something else.
We all know that Boone is on his last thread. And I think even if they go, they'd have to win the World Series for him to keep his job. Honestly.
Even then, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they're going to want to try to repeat and they don't want to go through the same thing they went through this year.
No. So
and I don't think winning a World Series would get the clubhouse back. I think that would just be a bunch of players being like, "We rallied around each other. He just happened to be the guy at the top on the top step of the clubhouse or the dugout, and the rest of us just did our thing."
Yeah,
you know, it had nothing to do with. I still think he'd get fired if they won the World Series.
Yep, I agree with you. And this whistling thing is not helping. But let's go back to the rumors that he's going to get fired. So I contend that it is not outside the realm of possibility that these rumors were started by the front office in New York.
Probably. That's usually how rumors start.
Exactly.
Somebody in the front office, you know, says, "Hey, check this out."
Yep.
To somebody. So.
Well, and not only that, but they published that shame video earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Right? Which was all the players' heads down and the terrible narration about this is a player problem and.
Was that right before the winning streak, or was that like a few weeks before that started?
It was even further before that.
Okay, all right, that's what I thought. I couldn't remember for sure exactly when that was.
No, but, the winning streak happened when Rizzo came in and had a few weeks under his belt.
That's right. Yeah, that. That's
and it was the that Luke
was one
Boy,
of the best
Anthony Rizzo thing.
Yeah, that's right.
It was one of
Luke
the best.
Boy
what
came in with a major. Oh, that was one of the best moves they could have made. I mean, I know at the time you were really upset about it, and I would have been more upset about the Joey Gallo deal, you know? Like, I thought Anthony Rizzo was going to come in and establish himself and really, I don't know, get the guys to rally. But, I mean, they did for a short time, but not so much anymore. Because, like with the Mariners, everybody was upset about the Kendall Graveman deal. I think we talked about this.
Yeah.
You know, and Abraham Toro comes over from the Astros clubhouse just across the hallway pretty much, and he comes in and everybody's like I said upset, and he comes in, the first thing he says to the guys is, "Hey, you know, I'm not here to rebuild, I'm here to win. So if you guys are here to win, then let's do it."
Yeah.
And they've played really well since that trade.
Yep. Exactly.
And I was expecting the same thing from Rizzo and the Yankees, and it seemed like it worked for a little bit, but it hasn't gone well.
So. We can't fix systemic issues, and that's the problem. Like, right. One guy's not going to be able to solve the system's problems. So I think Boone is leaving. I want them to get rid of Gary, and then I want to see what happens.
Yeah.
I think for me, those are two major issues. I think Gallo's worked out for the most part, not so bad. It's not great. It's not terrible.
He's such a boom or bust guy anyway, though.
Yeah.
he could be trouble, but he can also bail you out if you need it.
Yeah, but so my thought was, if Clint Frazier wasn't have vertigo symptoms still, would they have ever made the Gallo deal? I say no.
Probably not, no.
And it's too bad, but anyway, we don't have to keep talking about the Yankees. But
well, real quick, I do want to talk about this whistling thing. I think we should visit this, because I only heard some whistles here and there, and it didn't seem like it was really connected to anything. Like, it was kind of random. Like, I don't know. I know that was it Rich Hill who was saying that they were taking his signs? Like,
yeah, I think it
I
was
mean, he
Rich
looks
Hill.
Like he belongs, like, teaching economics at a community college or something, where he can wear, like in the Northeast, where he can wear, like, a sweater vest year-round. You know, like, that's what Rich Hill looks like to me. He doesn't look like a big league pitcher. But at the same time, like, that whistling didn't seem really connected. It seemed more out of paranoia to me. What exactly was going on with that? Did you hear anything specific as a Yankee fan? I guess pay more attention. What
nothing since. No, nothing during and nothing since, other than his commentary in the video that they put together for his commentary, which made it appear to be a bigger deal than it probably actually was. And Aaron Boone's like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Because the whistling was coming before the signals were even put down.
Yep. And it only happened that one inning, and Taiwan, is that his name?
That's who it was. It was Taiwan Walker.
It
wasn't Rich Hill.
Didn't you say he was pitching? He was dropping his pitches anyway? Like, he tips them all the time?
I know in Seattle there was a couple of times where, like he came in and they're like, you're tipping your pitches. And he's like, well, shoot, no wonder. Because he can be really good, but he also, at the same time, he's one of those guys who's known for having one bad inning every couple outings.
Wow, this was only one inning.
I don't feel like this outing was really uncharacteristic for him. Like I said, history of tipping his pitches and one bad inning and outing. So, could have been any of it.
Well, let's move on to Mike Trout, my friend, because he's out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, which is crazy. It's absolutely crazy to me. So, yes, there's only 12 games left, but Mike Trout was placed on the 10-day IL on May 18th with a calf strain.
Yep.
Now, we talk all the time about a forearm strain being one of the first signs of needing Tommy John, right?
Oh, so you got
forearm, and then go up a little bit, you got that elbow ligament.
Yep.
Well, I wonder, and I hadn't even thought about this actually until just now, I wonder if he might have, like, an undiagnosed Achilles problem.
Ooh.
That he's saying his calf hurts, so they're not looking. Like, I'm not questioning the doctors or anything, but I just remember, like, a few years ago, Kevin Durant had a calf problem. He came in and immediately tore his Achilles when he probably shouldn't have been playing to begin with.
Huh.
You know, so I wonder if Mike Trout's got some kind of Achilles tendonitis or something going on there that they're not, maybe they are addressing it in-house and they're not putting it out there because they don't want it to seem like Mike Trout's torn his Achilles or anything. But I wonder if that's an issue that he's having.
Hmm.
And that's why he only played 33 games this year.
Well, what if he has
38, something like that?
Yes. Yeah, something like that. But what if there's also a bone spur in his heel? Something like that would require surgical, solution.
It could be, but it's like I said, they're saying it's a calf strain. So I wonder if it's an up high Achilles issue.
Or maybe an IT band, like he tore his IT band or something.
Maybe. I don't know. That's a whole lot of speculation. But it's interesting that he's been out. I mean, he was off to a really good start. He was slashing. I mean, he was hitting .333 with 8 home runs and, like I said, 38 games. And that's better than a home run every 5 games. That's really good.
It's really good.
So, I don't know. Despite Mike Trout being in the division, I am a very big Mike Trout fan. I really like watching him.
Yeah, I do too. And it's going to be sad to watch him fall. Yeah, it's going to be sad to watch him go down. And if this is the beginning of it, the true beginning of it, that's going to be rough for baseball.
Oh, big time. And you know, we've talked before about how he's not like a big marketing guy, but the fact that he's still, what, he's 30? Yeah, he's 30.
Yep.
And he's got a long time left on that contract with the Angels.
Well, and according to everybody else, he should have a long time left on the field, right? We're looking at four to six more good years of capable DH time at least.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's crazy, and it's a big-time bummer for – I mean, the Angels have had issues all year long. I mean, I feel like Anthony Rendon didn't even play this year.
Right. I thought this was going to be the year for Anaheim. I was really, really looking forward to it preseason.
I didn't, just because they have so many pitching issues. Otani can't pitch every day. So
yeah,
that's why I figured they wouldn't win.
I know. I was anyway. I was just hoping for significant improvement, I guess. Not
– Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
But anyways, all right, last thing here. We have Mookie Betts doing good things as per usual, one of the good guys in baseball.
Yeah.
So Reds rookie TJ Friedl hit his first big league homer. This was at home. This is in Cincinnati. And Mookie Betts, being out in right field, he kind of flagged down the fan who caught the ball and asked if he could get it back. The guy, without hesitation, tossed it back to him. Just said, oh, yeah, that's a big deal. I get it. So he threw it down to Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts made sure the ball got into the Reds dugout. And unsolicited, like I said, the guy just tossed the ball back. Mookie Betts next inning comes out with a bat, a signed bat, and gave it to the fan.
That's like, amazing.
So, like, I love so much about this because it gives me hope for humanity, right? That first off, like I said, Mookie Betts, all-time good guy. First team all-time good guys. And then you've got this fan who just was like, yeah, sure, I'll give you the ball back. You know, no problem. And then he gets the bat. And this is the thing that a lot of people aren't talking about that I noticed in the video was that the guy who got the bat, as he's walking back up to his seat, he stopped. This dad flagged him down, this little kid. And this kid was wearing a Mookie Betts jersey. And the guy let the kid take a picture with the bat.
Oh, cool.
He didn't give it to him, but he let him take a picture with it, and then, you know, he took it up and everything. But
that's cool.
But this guy, though, seems like he's first team all good fan, right?
Yeah.
Like, he gets it, and he's a man of the people and the bleachers and everything, and I think it's a cool story. I like it a lot.
I do too. I love feel good stories.
Yeah, definitely. And so with so many fights that we've seen in the stands, it's nice to see something like this towards the end of the season that there hasn't been, I don't know, a complete degradation of character in the stands.
No.
So.
Which is anyway. Where we live. We're bleacher creatures, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I'm not a good guy, though.
Let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to give you a playoff update, and then we'll go team shopping for you.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back with me. Root, root, root for the home. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Shop kids' baseball shirts at 9plusS.com.
I actually have a hobby that has nothing to do with baseball, and Brad, I think, is a little jealous. In the tiny bit of spare time that I have, I get punched in the face. Or I'm punching someone else. Either way, my friends and I try to hit each other. Now, before you think I'm crazy, there is a lot of protective gear involved, and I get my gear from Venom. Unbeatable quality at truly affordable prices. Not to mention it's the best-looking equipment on the market. If that's not enough, Venom just signed an enormous deal with UFC, and that equipment and apparel is now available at Venom.com. So whether you need new gloves, a heavy bag, or performance apparel, Venom.com is the place to shop. You can support our show and get 10% off when you use the link in the description.
Welcome back, baseball family. Before we get into talking about the playoffs and doing an update, and this is, I sprung this on Brad, so I apologize, Brad. I have to tell you, I am airing a formal grievance against the MLB app. Okay?
Okay.
For the last, I don't know, week or 10 days, every time I get a notification that says, holy crap, dude, you should watch this play. It's amazing. I do. I take the bait every time. Duh. I pull it up. I watch the video. And about this far into the video, guess what happens?
It crashes.
No, an ad pops up in front of the video. They are doing a pop-up ad over the replay video. And it's like, here goes so-and-so and the windup and the pitch. Crack. He goes back to the wall. Pop-up.
That's horrendous.
Bro,
that's in the app.
I am so mad. It has happened more times than I would care to remember. I could not be more angry. Call somebody, Brad, and tell them how angry we are, because this is not okay. I want names.
I'll send an email to Rob. Dear Mr.
Rob, I want names.
We have issues here. Yeah, that's weird more than anything. Like, why would... It's so weird.
And it's always like 4 to 6 seconds into the video where you're like, you would never expect, you would never suspect anything would happen, because it usually would come up very, very first or very, very last. But no,
Yeah. It's
right at that tail end of the beginning, and it's just when whatever it is you want to watch happens.
That's so weird.
Oh, I'm so mad.
That doesn't make any sense for me anyway. Anyway, that's strange.
Baseball family, if you are having the same problem, we need to call the alderman or something and get this fixed. Because I do not understand why. Okay, we're with you. Just needed you to know. We get it. All right, let's talk about the playoffs. Let's get into the standings. So, current playoff picture. Now, we have games going on right now.
Yes,
as we speak. Let's talk about that. Tampa Bay is playing Toronto Tampa Bay. New York is playing Texas right now. Baltimore is at Philadelphia. Chicago White Sox, they're in Detroit right now. I mean, we don't have to go down this list, but there's a lot of games going on right now, okay?
A lot of games. A lot of important games going on.
That's right. So this stuff is going to shift a little bit by tomorrow morning, but we're going to let you have it right now. This is where we stand. I'll take the American League, Brad. You take the National League. How about that?
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, so in the American League, guess how many playoff clinches we have? Zero still. Zero.
Yeah, nobody's clinched their division yet.
It's crazy. The entire American League is still open season. There are 12 games remaining. I do not understand. But Houston 6 games ahead of Oakland in the West. The White Sox are 11.5 games in front of Cleveland. Again, they're going to clinch any minute, just like I said. And Tampa Bay, 6.5 games up on Boston for the division. Now, on the wild card standings, this is where it gets even crazier. Boston has 1 game ahead of everybody else. Then we have Toronto falling into that second slot. New York Yankees, 1.5 games back. Oakland, 2 games back. And then there's Seattle at 4 games back for the wild card. That's how we're looking in the American League.
Yeah. And real quick with that, like, so Toronto at this moment is losing. The Yankees are winning.
Yes.
That's a fluid situation, as we talked about. That could go either way tonight. We could very well, because Seattle's, I'll be honest with you, Seattle's schedule is pretty good. They match up well with Oakland.
Yeah.
Playing Oakland 7 games to finish the season. 6 or 7 games to finish the season.
That's pretty good, man.
It is, and I'm actually really excited about that because it's a home and home. It's a home and home, and then you've got the Angels too, home and home, 6 games. So,
you're,
I like
you're
Seattle's
pretty.
Schedule.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. So that 4 games is a lot narrower than what it looks like for Seattle right now.
And correct. So
that
could, especially
that could
if,
really complicate things.
Well, if the wheels keep falling off for the Yankees, that's going to help Seattle's chances. And then depending on who's Toronto's facing, because I think Toronto has a pretty rough schedule coming up.
I mean, I think they had to play the Rays a few times.
They're playing Tampa Bay right now.
Yeah.
Let me look it up.
Yeah.
We got, so for Toronto, they're playing Tampa Bay right now.
And so then they've three got games against Tampa.
And then they got the Twins, and then they got the Yankees.
That'll be huge series. That Toronto-New York series. That'll
and it's huge. In Toronto. Huge.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, man.
So keep an eye on that American League wildcard race, because that's going to get – it's really going to heat up here in the next week. That last week of the season is going to be intense for everybody.
For sure.
Okay, let's go over to the National League. We have the Giants have clinched a playoff spot. The Brewers have also clinched a playoff spot. And the Dodgers have clinched a playoff spot. The Brewers, they not just not only dub, but they not only clinched a playoff spot. I believe they clinched their division.
They did.
Not quite yet. That's any minute. Just like Chicago.
Oh yeah, it's a foregone conclusion though.
Yeah, because the Cardinals are 11.5 back, so it'll be like today, tomorrow. It's just a matter of minutes before that one's done. But the wild card is actually an even bigger mess in the National League than it is in the American League.
It is.
The Dodgers are going to get that first spot. They're 16 games up on the Cardinals. The Dodgers are playing for the National League West. They're not playing for a playoff spot. They're playing for the division. So they don't care what's going on below them. But then you've got the Cardinals right now in that top spot. And then under them, you've got Cincinnati 3 games back. Philadelphia 3.5. San Diego 3.5. The Mets are 7 back. They're not gonna get involved here because 7 is just too much with 12 games left.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, that Cincinnati has been playing really well. They could actually, no, that's a lie. Cincinnati has not been playing very well.
Right,
well for a while.
They
three
were
3-7 in their last 10. They lost 2 in a row. But they also played the Dodgers this weekend, so that's not gonna help. But Philadelphia is kind of like where they've been. They're 5-5 their last 10. And you never know what you're going to get from them day to day. Then the Padres, like we talked about, the wheels are coming off. They're 2-8 in their last 10. 3.5 seems like a lot more for them than what it really is, because they're fighting that uphill battle internally right now.
Yep.
So that's a big deal. Really, I think what it's going to come down to is, can Cincinnati and Philadelphia catch St. Louis? And I don't know if they can, because St. Louis has won 8 in a row. They're 9-1 in their last 10. And if they're playing in against the National League Central, that's a pretty weak division. They'll be able to beat up on the Cubs, Pittsburgh, whoever they're going to be playing in that division. As long as they don't play Milwaukee to end the season, though, I think they'll be fine. So
yeah, can I draw some attention to Atlanta really quick?
Yes, please do.
Because the Braves and the Phillies are 2.5 games. The Phillies are only 2.5 games out. Okay. The Braves are currently playing the D-backs, and they've got 3 games. This is a 4-game series. They're playing them right now, and it's tied at 0 in the third. So, which, I mean, could be anything, right? But they're in Phoenix. Right. Then they play the Padres 4 times, and then the last 3 games of the season is against Philadelphia.
Well, and the Phillies lost to the Orioles today.
Oh, are you serious?
2-0.
Oh, no.
So that's not going to help them at all. You can't lose to the Orioles. Man. You can't lose to the Orioles.
But New York's been doing it. So.
Well, yeah. That's true.
So let's talk about the Phillies schedule. Baltimore, Baltimore, Baltimore. Pittsburgh, 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 4 games, and then Atlanta. I'm just saying there's a chance.
There is, but they can't keep losing to the Orioles, and they definitely can't lose to Pittsburgh.
No, they have to win all 6 games before they get Atlanta.
Yeah, and you
they
know,
could,
let me
they
look
could
at,
win 5 out of 6, and it would be okay.
They could. They could win 5 out of 6. Let me look at what Atlanta has real quick, because if it really depends on their schedule too, because like if they're
well, and that's what I just read off.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that they're playing San Diego, and before they meet Philadelphia, it's San Diego and Arizona.
Yeah, well, and then they finish out the season against the Mets.
Yeah, they have a 3-game stretch against the Mets that first week of October.
Yeah,
but I'm not looking at that October. I'm looking at that last week of September. To me, is where the money's made. That's where it's all going to go down.
Right, but I mean, if it's still a race come that last weekend, Atlanta's going to take it because they're playing the Mets.
Yeah, yeah. Who does Philadelphia play that very, very last?
Philadelphia
last series.
Philadelphia plays. Let me pull it up real quick. It's loading and it's thinking. They have Miami. They
really?
Are in Miami though, but it's the same thing with the Phillies though. Like the right. Marlins are not great, but they're not a pushover.
They're not.
And
they're
the Phillies could easily lose. They could easily lose 2 out of 3 of those.
For if they're losing to Baltimore right now, then yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They came down here to Phoenix and got swept.
I know. What is up with that?
It's so weird. It's the weirdest thing.
This whole season is bonkers, man.
It is.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
God, I love it so much, but it makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. All right, Brig. So before we get too long here, let's get into our team shopping.
Okay.
So for those of you who were not with – so Brig actually missed this last time. He had some stuff going on. So I had a friend, Quinn, fill in for him. And we did what we call team shopping. So for those of you who have a team who's been eliminated from the playoffs or will be momentarily, maybe in the next 20 minutes or so, I don't know.
Or could be, you know.
you're going to be looking for another team to cheer for. Trust me, as a Mariners fan, I'm used to it. I went through this every year for a long, long time. So what we're going to do is Brig and I are going to speak to you individually as fan bases and tell you this is who we believe you should be cheering for going forward, going into the playoffs, and then if that team makes playoffs for a playoff run as well. So, Brig, why don't you start us off with your first team that you believe that fans should cheer for?
Okay.
Start with the team, and then start with who they should cheer for.
Okay. I'm calling all Baltimore fans. It's rough. We all know. It's okay. We got it. I really believe that you should root for Toronto. Now, I know they're in the division. I got it. But you're 44 and a half games back. So don't tell me you didn't see this coming. It's okay. But at least you're both birds, is my justification. You're both birds. I need you to just go with me on this one.
Okay.
The end.
That's it. Just both birds. Okay. So I should have prefaced this with this. First off, this is absurdity mingled with seriousness, just so that you're aware. But
Which is what we also do.
It is. That should be on the description of the podcast.
Welcome to the Baseball Together podcast.
So I also chose the Orioles as one of my teams.
Shut up.
Yes. However, I am a firm believer that you do not cheer for a division rival. I don't care if it's the Orioles and the Blue Jays. I will never, ever, ever cheer for the Astros, the A's, the Rangers. The only reason I'll ever cheer for the Angels in the playoff is because my wife is an Angels fan. That's the only reason. You got to have peace in the household. So that's the one reason.
And she's awesome.
She is awesome. She's so awesome. But anyways, so I actually said the Orioles should cheer for St. Louis.
Birds?
Reason, because they're birds.
Yes!
Yes, they're both birds. But also because they have rich history. They both have rich histories in baseball. I mean, the Orioles are a franchise, tails all the time, whatever. The Cardinals have been established forever as well. But also, I feel like Orioles fans should be cheering for the Cardinals and really cheering for their front office to cheer for the Cardinals to be like, maybe we could learn a thing or two from that front office, the way they do things. And maybe we'll start winning games and not losing 100 games every year. So Orioles fans cheer for the Cardinals and hope that your front office is also cheering for the Cardinals so they can learn a thing or two about what it means to win. Okay.
Wow.
All right, Brig, who you got next?
So my next one is Cincinnati.
Okay.
I think if Cincinnati does not make the playoffs, they should root for the Dodgers.
Okay.
There's a number of reasons, but I think the most important one is that sometimes it's nice just to stop wearing red and start wearing blue. It just feels good. You should try it.
I'm sure that a lot of people you grew up with would disagree with you. But,
well, and all of them, they have yet to figure out the error of their ways.
There you go. Very good.
Notice all the blue in my situation here.
A lot of blue going on there tonight, Brick. A lot of blue.
No. I really do think, though, so there's not a division issue with this. There's no rivalry problems or anything like that. And I do think LA, I think they're having this weird, like, underdog situation right now that they have no business having. And Cincinnati does the underdog thing very, very well. So that's why I think it would be easy for them to jump to another underdog, quotes, and have a positive experience.
Okay. Very good. I like it. Okay. I'm going to go with another blue team. But I'm going to go with the Rangers.
Ooh.
So Rangers fans should cheer for the Tampa Bay Rays. And part of this is because, I mean, like, if you were to, like, say the Rangers, you just have to stop partway. Like, you've got the Rays.
Ah!
You thought I was going to say Rangers.
But well, I did.
That's part of it right there.
Very clever there, sir.
Thank you. And another reason is because I feel like the Rays and the Rangers are often the forgotten teams in their divisions.
Yep.
When I'm listing out the AL West, somehow I always forget the Rangers. And with the AL East, somehow I always forget the Rays, despite them being good. I don't know how that works out. But anyways, and they both have blue in their color schemes. So Rangers fans would not have to go too far away from where they're at. So it's kind of the opposite reason for your Reds and Dodgers things. But anyway.
Yeah.
There we go. So if you're a Rangers fan, cheer for the Tampa Bay Rays.
It's perfect.
All right.
Do you want to take a quick break or one more?
Go ahead and do one more, and we'll take a break.
Okay. All right. So, if you are a Philadelphia fan, let's just say you don't make the playoffs this year, okay? I really do think you should cheer for San Francisco.
Okay.
And here's why. Because if you can't come out of nowhere and win it all, you should be able to appreciate another team that can come out of nowhere and win it all.
There you go.
That's,
I like that. That's,
honestly, that's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. I like that a lot. Very good.
Thanks, man.
Okay, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to give my third, and then we'll finish it off with four more after that.
I'm Jason.
And I'm David, and we're the hosts of the Non-Nor Sports Podcast. We're the home of sports talk for everyone. Join us bi-weekly as we talk about the happenings in sports.
You can find the Non-Nor Sports Podcast on Anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever else you find your podcasts.
You know what, Brig?
What's that, Brad?
I'm just not much of a coffee drinker.
Boy, I knew that. You're still stuck in your yummy phase.
Yeah, that's true.
So what exactly do you do to get it going in the morning? I know it is not a good night's sleep.
You're right, it's not. Instead, I drink Raise. I tried a ton of different energy drinks over the last few years to help me get up in the morning, and it is by far the best tasting. It's mildly flavored, yet still flavorful. There's no crash, so I actually feel like I can finish the workday when it wears off around 2:30.
Visit repsports.com. That's REPPsports.com. And use code BTPOD at checkout to support the Baseball Together podcast and to get 15% off your sampler pack, variety pack, or custom order of Raise Energy.
Welcome back, baseball family. So we have just a few more teams left for you for team shopping. I have three, Brig has two. So I'm going to go ahead and lead us in with our next one we have here. So Brig last time talked about a team that should cheer for the San Francisco Giants. Who was that you had again, Brig? That was
Philadelphia.
The Phillies. That's right. The Phillies should cheer for the San Francisco Giants. And I actually have another team that should cheer for the Giants. I have the Detroit Tigers fans. should be cheering for the San Francisco Giants. And most of it is based off of their hideous color schemes. They both have awful color schemes. Orange is one of the grossest colors to me in the world.
Oh, jeez, in fact,
they
Brad.
Both have orange. Goes a long way to be like, you know what? You guys have so much in common. Go ahead and cheer for each other. This is fine.
This is why, baseball family, this is why his nickname is Blackjack Brad. Okay? Because very regularly, and I admit it has been less frequent this season, but he will hoist the black flag and just start coming after people. I don't know why. He just spits on his hands, and he's like, I'm going to slit some throats right now, and make some enemies. He doesn't even give you a shot across the bow. He just pulls broadside and throws his grappling hooks and comes cutlass drawn aboard.
Woo! There's no other way, Brig. There is no other way.
Apparently not. Everybody get their booby traps out.
But anyways, also besides that, at one point this season, Brig, the Giants and the Tigers did share a record. They shared the same record at one point this season. These teams were both 3-3 on Wednesday, April the 6th.
Oh, well, there's your reason right there.
There it is. That is the number one reason why these teams should cheer for
each
other.
Sure it is.
But yeah, so Tigers fans cheer for the Giants. There you go. Okay, Brig, give us your next one here.
Okay. If you're a Yankees fan, if you're a Yankees fan and the Yankees do not make it to the playoffs, you should root for the New York Knicks.
The Knicks?
The Knicks. You should don't even worry about the Giants. The wheels are all the way off for the New York Giants right now.
That's true.
So don't even worry about it. Just October 19th, the NBA season starts. Just start cheering for the Knicks. We all know you're too elitist to stick with baseball if your team's not in contention. We all know how it goes. It's fine. The Royal We will be rooting for the Knicks.
There you go. I like it.
Thank you.
At first, I thought you were like, wait, the Mets? First off, the Mets aren't going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And second, why would any Yankee fan ever cheer for the Mets?
No.
But no, you're right. You're right. Go on, cheer for the Knicks. Don't move on to the Giants or the Jets because
No. You could do the Nets. You could do the Brooklyn Nets if you want to. That's fine.
Yeah. You'd be better off, actually. You'd be better off.
I'm just saying, pick a basketball team.
It's very good. That's creative. I like it. That's good. All right. So next I have the Minnesota Twins. Okay, so anybody who's a fan of the Minnesota Twins should go on and cheer for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Whoa!
Okay, so same division, different league, right? So I guess it's not the same division. Anyway, so the number one reason is because Milwaukee and Minnesota both start with M. So I think that makes sense, right?
Well, they're not that far apart. How about that?
They're not, and they're both very cold. That's another reason. Both get very cold in the winter, and fall baseball has got to be miserable in both places. So you're familiar with how things work.
Oh, man.
With the Brewers. But ultimately, Brig, Craig Counsell is a really good manager. Like, he is doing some great things with the Brewers. Like,
oh, I don't
it's
disagree.
Unreal. If you want to cheer for a winner, go ahead and cheer for the Brewers, because they very well could come out of the National League. So Twins fans, cheer for the Brewers. How's that?
Cold.
They like that.
I loved it. Thank you. Okay. My last one. I got one more.
Okay.
Gotta give a nod to my Braves fans out here in Brave Country. Let me recover myself. Oh, that was really funny. Okay. Okay. All right, I'm sorry. If you're a Braves fan and somehow they don't make it to the playoffs, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to choke. I think you should root for the Red Sox.
Whoa.
Right now.
Well, no, okay. That makes sense. Go ahead.
Here's why. A, there's literally no reason not to. There's not
the whole cheating thing.
There's no reason not to. You don't have any rivalry issues with the Red Sox. There's no like history. There's no bad blood. There's no nothing. It's not even in the National League. You can wear the same color scheme. There's no reason not to root for the Red Sox. And they are going to be part of the principal reason the Yankees did not make it to the playoffs as well. So you just get to stick that little thorn in there as well. Because we all know Braves fans hate the Yankees as much as they hate anything that they hate. So
most people do, let's be honest, Brig.
Shut that up, is... Brad. I'm just saying.
We could make a sweeping declaration if we wanted to. But
the royal we are offended.
I understand. And that's fine. But so I thought you were gonna go with the fact that the Greenville driver right there not far, right?
Well, that's
4 hours, 3-4 hours away, something like that.
Yeah, three and change. Two and a half. Three and change. It depends on where you go. Yeah.
And how fast you're driving. But I thought that was one of the things you're gonna say, but I like all those other reasons much better. Much, much better. Make way more sense.
Thank you.
Especially the one where you don't have to change the colors, because it's basically the same.
Right. Big deal.
Okay. All right, I have my last one here. The Marlins are essentially eliminated from playoff contention already. I actually want to double check. They've been eliminated. Yep. 16 and a half games out of the wild card. No chance any longer. So right. If you want to cheer for a wild card contender the rest of the way here, Marlins fans, I think personally you should cheer for the Mariners. Now,
you would.
I would, and let me tell you one of the reasons here is because they have very similar names. Used to. So I got two things growing up as a Mariners fan. One, you like the Mariners? No, I don't like the Mariners. It's not a thing. But also, the Marlins, Mariners, that's a Mariners hat. Actually, it's a Mariners hat, not the Marlins. So very similar names. Enough for people who are the casual fan might just mix it up. So... you could say, yeah, I'm a Mariners fan. Oh, yeah, you've been a Mariners fan. Yeah, I've been a Mariners fan forever. No problems here. Also, they both have awesome colors. I love the Mariners teal and navy. It's silver, obviously. I also love the color scheme that the Marlins are going with right now, whatever it is. It's like the black and the blue and the little bit of red, right?
It's the Miami colors, bro.
Yes, the Miami colors. It's pink, yes.
It's pink, it's very and good. Coral. Yeah, salmon and coral or whatever.
Yeah, it's a great color scheme. Both teams with progressive color schemes that I think are very good. And the Marlins have always had a progressive color scheme, always been turquoise, teal, whatever. And so if you want to go with a team that is a little bit off the color wheel a little bit, go cheer for the Mariners. And the other reason is because you're familiar with a team like this. I mean, outside of the Marlins having been so bad outside of a couple World Series wins the last 20 years, the Marlins are not a team that likes to spend money. And neither are the Mariners. The Mariners have one of the lowest payrolls in the league this season. And so you're familiar with a budget team. So go ahead and cheer for the Mariners, Marlins fans. You'll have a great ride for the next 12 days, and then your heart will be broken when we miss
it. Yeah, I was going to say, then it's over. And
then you're going to find another team. So just don't cheer for the Astros, anybody.
That's funny. I was going to say the same thing. I was like, well...
everybody against Houston.
If you're a Houston fan, just keep cheering for Houston. Just make sure to identify yourself.
Yeah. Make your presence known when you enter the room so we all know what's going on.
Yes. Like the NRQ guys.
That's right. Yeah, so real quick, as far as you mentioned that, baseball family, we have – I mean, the season is wrapping up, like we talked about. There's about 12 games left, and then we're going to get into the wild card games, and we've got the playoffs coming out right after that. So Tuesday, October the – what was that, the 5th, Brig?
5th.
Tuesday, October the 5th, the American League wild card game is going to be on ESPN, and we're going to do another live stream just for you. So we will be doing that during the game. So go ahead and turn on the game on ESPN. Go ahead and stream it, since that's what we're going to be doing with the delay and everything. And then listen to us talk about the game. We're going to have some guests on. We're going to have the guys from No Redeeming Qualities on, our friends over at NRQ. They're going to come on and talk to us about the Houston Astros and what it's like to be fans of a cheater. That'll be one of the conversations we'll have with them. And then we're also going to have our friends Jason and David over at the Not Another Sports Podcast. They're going to come on and join us, and we'll talk to them about what it's like to be a sad Phillies fan. So it's going to be a good time. We're going to have a lot of fun. Right, Briggs?
But should we just invite Denise and to talk about what it's like to be a sad Cubs fan?
Let's do it. Come on, Denise, and we'll talk about what it's like to be a sad Cubs fan right
now.
Oh,
man, so. Brad. Brad, lower the flag, dude. Like...
Once it's up, Brig. That's just the way it goes. It doesn't come down.
Yeah, it is.
We give no quarter and we take none either. So
you got to tell me.
That's how we do things around here. But Brig, go ahead and plug the shop for us. Let us know.
Listen, baseball family, don't forget to jump on the shop at 9plusus.com. It's NINEPLUSUS.com, 9plusus.com. I'm wearing my 42 Jackie Robinson inspired t-shirt right now. Brad and I are both rocking our perfect hats. These are our best-selling hats, no questions asked. They come in a variety of colors, and everybody loves them, and they're super comfortable. They got the green under visor. Shout out to Old School. And they're snapbacks. We got them in dad caps, the soft crown dad caps as well, and they're just the best. So jump on there, get yourself something nice at 9plusus.com. Supports the shop as well, or the show. So we get a chance to keep doing what we're doing because of those purchases. Right. And you get something nice.
Yes, absolutely. Especially the Christmas coming up. You don't want to put that off for too long.
Nope. So. I saw something the other day. It's like we're 100 days out or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not very long. So before the Christmas rush. Yeah.
Get your Jingle Balls shirt so you have it for the Christmas parties.
We have a baseball Christmas shirt on the shop, guys. It's called Jingle Balls. Brad designed it himself, actually.
I did. Thank you. Thank you, Brig. But also, don't forget to go by baseballtogether.com. You can watch the podcast. You can listen to the podcast. You can also send us an email in the mailbag. There's a link right there at the top in the description. Go ahead and send that. Send us your questions, comments, concerns, Snyder remarks about the podcast. And also, if you want to leave us a message instead of send us one, you can leave us a voicemail. There's a link in the doobly-doo of every single episode for that. We can use that, and if you want to, we can put it on the podcast. If not, let us know. We won't. We'll just use your question. But anywho, this is a great episode. Brig, I had a ton of fun team shopping.
Me too.
I look forward to doing it already next year. And baseball family, we will catch you next week.